Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Income inequality continues to plague the United States and North Carolina like never before, causing deep divides in our society between folks at the top and families struggling just to make ends meet. Policymakers are wrestling with ways to address that divide, but haven't made much progress lately on calls to raise the minimum wage or provide sick leave and other supports for workers. Here to talk about it on this Labor Day weekend is Mary B. McMillan with the North Carolina AFL-CIO. Well, Mary B., thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Chris.
Well, let's talk about an issue that I feel like we hear a lot about, but a lot of people don't understand the depth of it and what we can do about it, which is income inequality. And I know it's a new push for the AFL-CIO nationally and in North Carolina. Tell us about it.
Well, everybody from the president to the Pope's talking about income inequality, and even Standard & Poor's, which is not a radical source that analyzes stocks in the financial market, recently said that income inequality was damaging our economy. So, you know, lots of folks are talking about it, but we need to do something about it. And it seems pretty simple. Let's raise wages. You know, it's almost like, duh. People need to earn more money. It's really not that complicated. We got to quit letting corporate America define the narrative. You have people talking about taxes and deficits and so-called entitlements when it's really about income and wages, which have been stagnant for decades. And we can't believe this argument that it would cost jobs to pay workers more. Corporate profits are the highest they've been in 85 years. We can afford to pay workers a living wage. And in fact, instead of asking how much it will cost to pay workers more, we should be asking how much it will cost if we don't, because it hurts the whole economy.
And as we sit here, I can't even remember now how long it's been, what, a couple years since President Obama asked that we raise the minimum wage, which is sort of the baseline. It doesn't even really get to a lot of the income inequality. And yet we haven't seen any action from Congress.
No, we haven't seen any action from Congress, but we have seen action around the country because workers are standing up and demanding to get their fair share. So since January, about a dozen municipalities, almost 10 states have raised their minimum wage. So I think there's hope, but we can't let Congress off the hook. We have to continue to pressure them to raise the minimum wage.
And obviously in North Carolina, if the General Assembly wanted to, they could raise the minimum wage on their own.
Certainly, but I don't expect that to happen given our current leadership. You know, Tom Tillis has said he thought the minimum wage was a dangerous idea.
He said actually the wage, we shouldn't have it, or questioned whether we needed it at all, right?
Right.
The other interesting thing about the minimum, well, you mentioned the jobs. Let's talk about that. The thing we always hear is that raising wages always costs jobs, and that the folks on the right always say that's the worst thing for our economy as we're still coming out of the recession. How do you respond to that? I know you hear it all the time.
I don't hear them saying the same thing when we raise the pay for CEOs, and now CEOs are making over 300 times what the average worker makes, almost 700 times what a minimum wage worker earns. And again, if you look at corporate profits, they're at an all-time high. How can you say that, you know, a billion-dollar corporation like McDonald's can't afford to pay workers a few dollars more? They're still going to sell hamburgers. They do it in Australia where they pay workers $15 an hour.
It's also interesting you mentioned the municipalities. I think what I find, and it's not unique to the wages or inequality, the majority of Americans clearly support this. It seems like every poll I've seen, even one done by some conservative groups, show people believe we need to address income inequality and believe we need a higher minimum wage.
Right. It's wildly popular. That's why we can't believe, you know, the Art Pope, Koch brother-funded fearmongers who say we can't when we know we can. The money is there to pay workers a living wage.
How would you assess, as we celebrate Labor Day, how would you assess overall where we are in terms of working people in North Carolina?
You know, I think the story this Labor Day, it's one of struggle, but it's also one of hope, because all around the country, whether it's fast food workers or Moral Mondays, you see people coming together to say, enough's enough. It's time that we get our fair share. So certainly, workers are struggling. It's a shame that in the richest country in the world, people are working hard every day, but they don't earn enough to support their families. But people need to realize it's not an accident that it's that way. Lawmakers in Raleigh and in Washington have created policies that have eroded wages and eroded the safety net so that working folks are really struggling. And it's not inevitable that we have this income inequality, and together we can change it.
Tell us about the Labor Sabbath effort, which sort of brings the faith community into the struggle.
We're encouraging congregations this weekend to have Labor Sabbath and to talk about the moral urgency of worker justice and how labor unions are a key part to raising wages and winning fairness for workers. You know, many congregations, regardless of their faith, have mission projects to help those in need. They have food banks and homeless shelters, and they have support groups for the unemployed. We're really trying to get folks to move beyond charity to justice. If workers earned a living wage, if they had the right to form unions and bargain, they wouldn't need charity. So we're really trying to get congregations to focus on not just this religious doctrine that tells them to take care of the poor, but the real moral imperative that we should make sure that people aren't poor to begin with. And so it's moving from charity to justice, because that's what workers really need.
And it's about more than wages too, isn't it? And we've talked about on this show, we've had a lot of folks talking about the drive to have paid sick leave for workers or workers at restaurants who don't even make minimum wage. There's a lot of things that we need to be talking about.
Right. You're right. It's not just wages. It's about benefits, you know, paid sick leave. It's about the ability to have a set schedule so that your life's not so unpredictable that you don't know how many hours you're going to get in your paycheck or how you can schedule childcare. Whether it's fast food or even in universities, as I was reading about faculty becoming more and more contingent in universities, this trend is towards lower wages, towards a contingent workforce that has no job security and no benefits, and it's not sustainable.
You mentioned that it's also a time of hope, and I wondered, one of the lessons, it's interesting to think about, the legislative session, teachers were completely disrespected in 2013, well before that, and there was a big outcry, and this year legislators came back, and even though it was a confusing increase and they did a lot of other bad things, they sort of felt compelled to address the teacher pay situation. Is that a lesson that we can all take, that if people are marching, if people are making demands, that policymakers are forced to respond?
I think there is a lesson. I mean, certainly they didn't do what they should have done for teachers, right. But they did do something. I think that the pressure that you see through Moral Mondays, again, the fast food workers' actions that you're seeing around the country are having an impact, and we are winning victories. You know, whether it's increased pay for teachers or whether it's McDonald's saying, acknowledging that they may have to increase wages when they filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission, there's this recognition that it's not sustainable. We have to address the income inequality we have in this country. And I think that even though working folks are struggling, that it really is a time of hope, because people understand that if we come together, workers, people of faith, community leaders, we can make a difference and we can change the economy.
And let's circle back to the where we started, income inequality. I think people realize it's a problem, but why does everybody benefit from the solution? Why does it help everybody if we address this?
Well, all workers are also consumers. And so if we have more money in our pocket, that means more money that we're spending at businesses. So it helps businesses. We're also taxpayers. So the more money that we spend, that means more taxes we're paying, more revenue for all levels of government. It benefits business owners. It benefits customers in terms of having better customer service because you have more productive workers. It benefits our whole society and our whole economy when workers are well paid.
Well, Mary B., thanks for what you're doing for workers and have been doing for a long time, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Chris.
Up next, the battle over the rules to govern fracking in North Carolina. Stay with us.